Treeport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Hi, this is Pastor Arthur LaValle with Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry, welcoming you to another opportunity to transform your life. Did you know that you possess the power and the responsibility to determine your future and destiny? Did you know that you are the sum total of the choices and decisions you make every day? However, the ability for you to make the right decisions for a life that will lead to your God-given destiny depends on your quality of knowledge. Self-development demands self-discipline. It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand, as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest in God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective human on this planet as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar in progress.
Persecuted, but not forsaken.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, my Father. Thank you for your grace and your mercy, my Father, for it endured forever, Lord God. What a mighty God you are. And the mighty God that you are have done great and mighty things, Father. So, Lord, we come through the gates of thanksgiving, through the courts of praise, through the holy place, all the way into the holiest of holies, your very presence, my Father God, so that we can obtain that grace and that mercy and find the help that we need every time that we need it, my Father God. What an awesome invitation that you have extended to every man, every woman, and every boy, and every girl. You have pointed unto us the golden scepter of righteousness, stating that we can come boldly, not only just into your presence, but all the way up to your seat of authority, your throne, Father. Hallelujah. And make our petitions known unto you, my Father God. Knowing this, that if we ask anything according to your will, we can know that you hear us. And if we know that you hear us, Father, then we can also know that we have the petition that we desire of you, my Father God. Therefore, Lord, we take you up on that invitation once again, and we say, Lord, let your kingdom come, and let your will be done in our lives here on earth, just as it is in heaven. And Father, we invite the Holy Spirit into our presence right now, that's already on the inside of our lives, to do what you sent Jesus sent him to do. And that's to lead and guide us into the reality of your word. Holy Spirit, I humble myself under your mighty hands and your ministry in the earth today and what God sent you to do, to lead and guide us and to teach us and to comfort us, hallelujah, in the things of God, in the thing that he has for our lives. So take full control in this radio broadcast. And you speak through these lips of clay, Father God, to minister to our needs as seem wise unto our Father. And Lord, we'll be always careful to make sure that we give you all of the praise, all of the credit, all of the honor. For thine is the kingdom and the power, both now and forever, and the glory, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Holy Ghost, have your way in this hour. In Jesus' mighty, precious name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And so shall it be. Amen. Hey, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God. Hallelujah. Well, I'm talking about every time, man, it's time for me to come on this radio broadcast every Saturday, man, from 12 to 1 o'clock. And boy, when I get to that part where I say, hey, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God, I believe that that's when that anointing begin to come upon me, like when Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me. And boy, when once I say that, hey, mighty men and hey, mighty women of the Most High God, boy, I feel the Holy Spirit taking over then and taking control. So, hey, listen, I need you to know something. It's not me on this radio broadcast, man, that God has sent to you. He sent you, boy, he sent the Holy Spirit to minister to you through me. Hallelujah. So don't just listen to what I say. Listen to what the Holy Spirit, who lives on the inside of every believer, listen to what he has to say to you about what I say. Because listen, the only thing I'm going to give you is the word of God. That's it. I'm never going to give you my opinion about it or how I feel about it. Remember what we said? Holy Spirit, have your way. So he's the one that's at work in the earth today. He's the one that's ministering through these lips of clay. He's the one that Jesus sent, boy, told us, boy, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send you back another one. Hallelujah. I'm going to send you back the Holy Spirit. And when you receive him, then you're going to have a power then. Power for what? Power to live the kingdom life. You can't live the kingdom life without the power of the Holy Ghost. You can't live, man, the Christian life, man, in this reality without the power of the Holy Ghost. I told you, God said, let us make man in our image and our likeness, and let them have dominion over the earth. But us is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You can't just stop at the work that the Father did or stop at the work that Jesus Christ did. There's a going on in God. Hallelujah. To the next. What's the next? That's the one that's at work in the earth today. The Father finished. Jesus is finished. The one that's at work in the earth today is the Holy Spirit. And he's a perfect gentleman. Once we come to the knowledge that it is he who doeth the work, then, man, we got the man humbly, man, allow him to do the work. We got to invite him. He ain't going to force us into the things of God. He's going to lead us into it. So, you know, you force cattle and you drive them. You get behind them and you make them go in the direction that you want to. But sheep and lambs, you don't drive them. You lead them. The shepherd go in front of them, and, boy, they follow him. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Hallelujah. How do they follow him? Because the one that's leading them, man, is the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's how important he is in our lives as believers, man, that we need to come to the knowledge of. That the power of it, the purpose for him. Well, let me say it right. The purpose for the Holy Spirit in our life, the power of the Holy Spirit that's in our life, and the person of the Holy Spirit that's in our life. See, without that knowledge, without that revelation knowledge of it, then we're going to be struggling, man, to make it as believers, man, and children of the Most High God. It'll be a struggle for us. But, boy, with the leading and the guiding of the Holy Spirit, then it no longer begin to be a struggle. All we got to do is follow him. Hallelujah. And if we follow him, then he's going to lead us into the path of righteousness by the still waters, into the green pastures, glory to God, into the reality of what it means to be children of the Most High God. Not just the knowledge, but the reality of that knowledge, to where we can begin to live victorious lives in the kingdom of God. And that's what brings glory to our Father. Hallelujah. When we get our needs met, when we get our prayers answered, when we get our purpose and destiny and will of God for our lives and begin to walk in it, hallelujah, when we begin to manifest God's word in the earth, not just preach about it, not just teach about it, not just sing about it, not just talk about it, that's included in it, but boy, when we begin to, man, manifest and then walk in the reality of it. And once again, the only way that we can do that is through following, man, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He's the most misunderstood person in the Godhead, you know. And he's the most needed one in the Godhead. In this time that we live in now, like I told you, Jesus finished his work. But he said, I come to redeem your life from the destruction that Adam sold us into. But the Holy Spirit, he's going to restore back to you everything that you lost in Adam. Jesus Christ said, Jesus Christ come to bring it back to us, our sovereignty, our dominion, our raw power, our righteousness, our peace, our joy. He come to cleanse us from all the unrighteousness that our forefather Adam sold us into, and under the slavery and beggarly elements of the devil and this world system. Jesus Christ come to redeem our life from all of that. But he sent the Holy Spirit back, man, to restore back to us everything that we lost. What we lost? We lost our right standings with God, our righteousness. We lost our peace that passes all understanding. We lost our identity, our purpose, our source of origin. We lost our potential, and we lost more the kingdom of heaven on earth. We lost the Garden of Eden, living in the Garden of Eden. We lost more the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And we lost, man, you know, the presence of the Lord. Adam was walking and talking. God was walking and talking with Adam in the cool of the day, 24/7. Adam was living in God's presence, filled with the Holy Spirit, and living in the kingdom of heaven on earth. That's what the Garden of Eden is. And boy, I'm talking about he was filled with the Holy Spirit to lead him into his God-given purpose and destiny. But when he rebelled against God, he lost all of that. And he became, and down through time, mankind has become ignorant to even not all, even what they lost, but the reality of it and all that thing that we lost. They became ignorant to it. They don't know more what we've been restored back to. They know what we've been redeemed from. They know how Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. But most believers think he died up on the cross for our sins so that we can try to live right and hope that when this old life here is over with, then we're going to all go to heaven and live in heaven, man, with our Father forever and ever and ever. That's not, man, what the Bible is about. I've said this many times, too. Hey, listen, don't misunderstand me. I don't never want you to think that we ain't going to go to heaven and that ain't God's purpose for us to go back to heaven. But that's not our eternal destination. We're going to all go to heaven. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And our Lord is in heaven. So once you leave this physical body, your spirit, man, leave this physical body, it's going back to, man, you, the body going back to the dirt which it came from. But you, that spirit being that's created in the image and likeness of the Most High God with all power, it's going back to where it comes from, heaven. But then after God, after the Holy Spirit finished his work in the earth in making man in the image and likeness of the Most High God, then more I'm talking about, then we're going to all come back to a new heaven and a new earth. That's in your Bible in Revelation chapter 21. The holy city coming down to a new earth. And the dwelling place of God going to be like it was in Genesis chapter 1 and 2 with man. With man where? Just like it was in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. God was with man on earth in the Garden of Eden. That's a spot on the earth. That was for that moment with an open door into a delightful place, the presence of the Lord. Our Lord, which art in where? Heaven. So Eden was an atmosphere and an environment that was on a spot on the earth for that moment with an open door into that delightful place, that utopia, the presence of the Lord, the kingdom of heaven on earth. And boy, we lost all of that. But boy, everything that we lost has been regained and restored back to us. And once again, the only one that can lead us into the reality of that is not the preacher, not your church, not you, especially not, man, our governance system that's upon this earth, and especially not social media, good God Almighty. The only one that can lead us into the reality of that, especially not Brother Arthur and Sister So-and-so and Brother So-and-so and Pastor this and Bishop that. Hey, all they can do is assist us, man, and men coming to the knowledge of who's doing the work in the earth, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Again, the Father finished. The Son, Jesus, he finished. The one that's in the earth today is the Holy Spirit. I say it again, like we said last week, Jesus never attributed none of those mighty works that he was doing. He never attributed that to himself. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to do what I'm doing. Hallelujah. He has empowered me. It is he that doeth the work. It is the Father that's doing the work in and through me but it's by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I can do nothing without my Father and the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus, man, ended it all up, and when he died up on the cross, the last act that he performed before he went back up to the Father and took a seat at the right hand of the Father, he breathed on them disciples and said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." Why? "But the work that I do, you shall do also, and greater work shall you do, because I'm going back to the Father. I'm finished." Hallelujah. Well, you say, "The work that I do shall you do also." Why? "Because as I am, so are you." And the same reason and purpose that the Father sent me is the same reason and purpose that, boy, I'm going to send you. Endowed with the power from on high, the Holy Spirit. Jesus told him, "Tarry in Jerusalem." He told him, hey, listen, he said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." And then he told him, "Tarry in Jerusalem, or wait in Jerusalem. Don't go and start preaching and teaching and doing all them things now, but wait for the power of the Holy Spirit, glory to God. For you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come unto you. And you shall be a witness, not for me," but that's what we've been doing without the knowledge of the role of the Holy Spirit. We've just been telling everybody about Jesus and what he did and how he did what he did and how he died for our sin and how he redeemed our life and destruction. That's being a witness for Jesus. That's telling people about Jesus. And that's a good thing. Don't misunderstand me. That's a good thing and a necessary thing and a needed thing. But that's not all. He said, "You shall be a witness unto me." A witness unto him, Jesus, is not just telling people, man, about what Jesus did, but doing what Jesus did. Hallelujah. Destroying the works of the devil. Opening blind eyes, man. Unstopping deaf ears. Causing the lame to walk and the dumb to talk and the blind to see. And the raising, the reviving of the dead man back to life again. And not so much as in physical realm, that too, but spiritually. Hallelujah. Opening spiritual blind eyes. Jesus said, man, good call to my Allah Kabashandarabosata. Somebody say, "What do you say?" I say, "Holy Ghost, have your way." Once again, Holy Ghost, I acknowledge you. And then I humble myself and all the ones that's under the sound of my voice, that you would anoint these lips to speak and that you would anoint the ears of the hearers to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say to the church in this hour. Good God Almighty. So he wanted a man to open up spiritual blind eyes, unstop spiritual deaf ears, cause the spiritual lame to walk, man, to make alive those who are dead in trespassing and sin, man, to bring them, to revive them, to bring them back to life again. How? By the power of the Holy Ghost. That's what he come to do. That's what Jesus said, boy, hey, the work that I do, you shall do also, and greater work. And that's because as I am, so are you. Hallelujah. And just like the Father sent me, that's how I'm sending you. So once again, I say, hey, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God, even if you don't have not come to the knowledge of that, and even if you have not received that, and even if you are not walking in the reality of that, line upon line and precept upon precept, that don't nullify, man, that eternal truth. You still a mighty man of the Most High God. If you never walk in the reality of it, that's still who you are. Why? Because that's what God said, man, who you are. Hallelujah. And who he say we are, we are. And what he say we can do, we can do. And what he say we have, we can have. Now, in order for you to possess that, once again, man, you need the man be led by the Spirit of the Lord into the reality of that. And the good news is the Spirit of the Lord is available to you. In fact, he's not only available to you, he live on the inside of every last one of us. I told you, Jesus breathed on them and say, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Adam, man, was full of it, man, in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, but he lost it. And Jesus Christ come in and cleansed us up from unrighteousness, because the Holy Spirit can't live in an unclean temple. And he cleansed us up from all our unrighteousness. That's the purpose of the death and the burial and the cross. Hallelujah. But don't just get preoccupied with that. Don't stop there. Like my pastor in Houston, Pastor Little, said, that's a going on in God. Go on what? To the next. What's the next? The restoration work of God. Jesus working on the cross and everything, that's the redeeming work, but that's not the end. That's the beginning to the end. Hallelujah. That's the means to the end. for the end, to have restored back to every last one of us everything that we lost. And I already told you what all we lost, our righteousness, our peace, our joy, our communion with the Father, our sovereignty, our dominion, hallelujah, the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Lord, the kingdom of heaven on earth. All that's been restored back to us. But the only one that can lead us again into the reality of it, that's the Holy Spirit. He's not an option. You need him. He's not an option for the church. And some people say, well, you know, I'm going to say it again. He's not an option, man. He's a necessity. You can't do nothing without him. I can't do nothing without him. I can't accomplish, man, the will of God, man. You can't accomplish the will of God, for the perfect will of God for our lives without him. You might can accomplish the permissive will of God, but not the perfect will of God. What's the permissive will of God? We said it last week. It's what God, man, had to permit to happen on earth through our giving the dominion that he gave us over the earth to the devil. So, man, hey, listen, God gave us dominion over the earth. And then Adam gave that dominion that God gave him over the earth, the whole earth, to the devil. And the devil plunged our earth into the earth and the world that we live here on the earth today. That's not God's original intent. That's not God's perfect will. But that's God's permissive will. But even though mankind failed, God never left them and God never forsook them. But the only way he can commune with them and operate with them was through his permissive will, what he had to permit to happen. Until, boy, he can send another man into the earth, the second Adam, or a better way of saying it, the original Adam, the one that inspired God to make mankind. And, boy, in the fullness of time, God sent, boy, his original son. We know him as Jesus Christ. And he came, man, not as a spirit being, man, and not as the word of God only, but as the spirit being and the word of God that's living in a physical body. Because that's who God gave dominion over the earth to, spirit beings that live in a physical body. So God couldn't come into the earth and start usurping authority, man, over mankind's failure and his disobedience, hallelujah, as a spirit being or as being Almighty God, because he's a spirit. He had to have a body to do that in. And there was nobody that was born after Adam and through Adam, because nobody came into the earth until after Adam had got put out of the presence of God, after Adam had died spiritually, got separated from God. Well, the only way God can redeem mankind's life from that destruction, he needed a body. But God made an awesome promise, man, to the devil and to Adam and Eve. He said, listen, you didn't deceive my children, but I promise you something. You ain't going to get away with that, boy. Let me say it in our day and time. I'm going to get you for that, Grasco. Yeah, you done disrupted my plan, and you done got my children off course, and they're going to go through a lot of suffering and racism and poverty and lack and sickness and disease. But I promise you something, devil, hallelujah. That same woman who you deceived, hey, she going to bear a son. She going to bear a child. And through him, hallelujah, you might bruise his heel, but, boy, he going to tear your head off. He going to destroy your authority over mankind. Glory to God. And he promised Adam and Eve, I ain't going to leave you. And I ain't going to forsake you. I can't be in you no more, but I'm going to always be around you, hallelujah, until the fullness of time. And the Bible said in the fullness of time, Mary brought forth a child. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That blood was not contaminated by sin for mankind. How he did that? Because the Holy Spirit overshadowed her. And the life that Jesus Christ was born in, was born by the power of the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Through a woman. Just like, boy, the devil deceived man, that woman, man, back at Genesis chapter 3, then God, man, through a woman, deceived that devil, boy, in the fullness of time when Jesus Christ was born. That was what? That was God in man, a physical body. Good God Almighty. What that was? That was God in a physical body. So that he could, man, fulfill his promise to redeem our life from that destruction, hallelujah, through a body. Because it had to be a spirit that lived in a body to do that. And it had to be a spirit that lived in a body that blood was not contaminated. That's why Mary's birth had to be a supernatural birth by the power of the Holy Ghost. That holy thing that was born of her was born by the power of the Holy Ghost. and God became a man. They prophesied about him in the Old Testament, man. A virgin shall conceive and have a child, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. What's that? That's God with man. Hallelujah. And then, boy, later on in that same book, and that was in chapter 7, I think, and then it went on in chapter 9 of Isaiah, it said this here, unto us a child is born, and a son is given. Mary born a child, but the son was given. Who is the child? That's Jesus. That's the physical body that came through a physical being. Who is the child? That's the resident that lived in that body. Hallelujah. Who is that? That's the Christ, the anointed king, the spirit man of God. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit, and boy, I'm talking about on the inside of a physical body, which was God with us. Not only with us again, but he was in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The Bible says the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily in Jesus Christ. He was full of the Holy Spirit. Good God Almighty. Well, coming to do a work. What work? The work that the Father promised, man. And not only did he promise man to come through a woman and deceive him and take that authority back, but he also promised man that, listen, boy, that land that you was living in, what land? That spot that was for a moment on the earth with an open door into a delightful place, a utopia, the literal presence of the Lord, where Adam and Eve were walking and talking with God in the cool of the day. Hey, he going to restore you back to that place. Not only is he going to redeem your life from that destruction that caused you to be put out into the wilderness, but he going to redeem your life. He's going to restore your life back to that delightful place, that utopia, the kingdom of heaven on earth. He's going to restore you back to that. That's a promise. That promised land that God, that we read about and preach about, man, that God gave our forefather Abraham, man, that's a type and shadow of the real promised land. That promised land that he gave Adam, what's his name again? Abraham. That was a type and shadow. That was a physical land over there in the Middle East somewhere, man. But the real deal what God was talking about that would come in the fullness of the time, that promised land was, man, back into the kingdom of heaven, back into the Garden of Eden. Because that's the only place you can fulfill your destiny from. The Bible says God planted the garden, or God established that environment and that atmosphere for that moment on that spot on the earth. And there he placed the man in that spot. Because that's the only place that you can fulfill your God-given purpose and destiny from. Not from the wilderness, not from out there in the world trying to do right to get to heaven. The only way you can fulfill your God-given destiny, you got to be restored back to that spot, to that place, to that atmosphere, to that utopia that God established on the earth already in Genesis 1 and 2 and designed for you to live in and from there fulfill your purpose. What? Make it on earth like it is in heaven. Only from that place can you do that. Out in the wilderness, all you're trying to do is, man, do your best to make it in and hope that when your life is over with, then, man, you'll hear God say, man, come, I accept you and the gates of heaven be open to you. Man, listen, come on. Well, the devil didn't, listen, the devil didn't deceive us, man, long enough. It's time for boy him to be revealed. He's a defeated foe, and his kingdom has come down. The Bible says Babylon has fallen. And if Babylon has fallen, then Babylon has fallen, glory to God. I'm talking about, man, the king of Babylon and all the princes of Babylon, the devil and all his demon cohorts, and all those that he has used to influence this earth and the people that are in this earth, man, they have fallen, glory to God. They have been stripped of all their authorities and power and dominion that they had over mankind, the slavery that they had over mankind, and captive to their will and their intent and their purpose. And that was to destroy us, hallelujah. But boy, that kingdom, man, and the king of that kingdom and all his demon co-hosts have fallen, hallelujah. The devil no longer have no authority over you. He no longer has no power and control and influence over your life. Only reason why he's able to do that because, man, he's deceiving you into thinking that he all of that when he ain't nothing. He's a defeated foe. The Bible say, boy, when we really see him as he is, The world gonna say, you mean to tell me that this little imp is the one that deceived the nations, all them centuries and everything, and all them years, man, you know, like this nobody, this nothing, this wimp, that's who he is. Hallelujah. But he don't want you to know that. And long as you don't know that, then he can keep on stealing from us. He can keep on deceiving us. Hallelujah. Hey, listen, the way your enemy steal from you, the way a thief steal from you, by keeping you from the knowledge of him stealing from you. So you know if he get caught, then he got to restore everything, man, that he been stealing. He's not a robber. A robber will come up into your face with a weapon or something and bring you up under subjection and take your stuff. But a thief, he got to steal by keeping you from the knowledge of it. The devil's not a robber. He's a thief. A thief steals unbeknowingly, keeping us from the knowledge of it, boy. But once he get caught, once you catch it, that's what my desire is for, that you catch that thief that's in your life, that's stealing our peace and our joy and our purpose and our destiny and our fulfillment of life and our potential. Because once he get caught, then, man, he got to return there. He got to, yeah, you go in the store and steal something out the store, man, and they catch you, they don't let you keep that. They make you get that back. Not only do they make you get that back, but they make you pay restitution, too. You got to go to jail, and you got to go to court, and you got to be sentenced, and then, man, end up in jail somewhere. That's the same thing, man, you know, that we need to understand about the devil, how important it is for us to catch the thief in our life. And the only way you catch the thief in your life is to become aware, man, of what he's doing and watch him and catch him. And hallelujah. And then once you catch him, like I say, he got to restore everything that he been stealing from you. And then he got to pay restitution. When it's all said and done, man, when we regain our stuff that he done stole from us, then the Bible say the devil, the false prophet, the Antichrist, all his demon co-hosts, that one-third of the angels that he persuaded to join alliance with him, they're going to be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. But he not only, man, got to give back with everything that he stole from us, but he got to pay restitution, baby. Him and his demons ain't going to be cast into the lake of fire, never again to be able to deceive mankind forever and ever. And mankind going to live in the kingdom of heaven on earth forever and ever and ever and ever. That's what your Bible, man, read to you and share with you in the last three chapters of the book of Revelation, chapter 20, chapter 21, and chapter 22. Hallelujah. And the only way that can be revelated to us to where we can understand that is two things. You got to, man, rediscover, man, the original intent and plan and purpose and destiny that God had for our life that was before the foundation of the world, that before you even came on the scene, before that was the heavens, that's the universe, and the earth. Before you was even formed from the dust of the ground, man, what was his precept? What was his original idea? What was in his mind that caused his hands to work? A lot of times we seek the hand of God. We want God, man, to do this and do that. But David say, Lord, teach me your precept so that I might understand your handiwork. Teach you what? Your precept, your original idea. What was in your mind before you started any work? What was your intent? What was your purpose? What was your desire? What you were thinking? What you thought? A thought is a word, too. It's just silent. And when it's spoken, then it becomes, man, a logos, a spoken word. And then when it's acted upon and spoken by faith, then it becomes a rhema word, what? A life, a living word, and a life-giving word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Somebody say, what are you saying? Hey, I'm just talking to the Lord in the spirit. Hallelujah. And I can interpret it. Boy, listen. Hear what, boy, I said. Lord, help us. Open our eyes, Lord. Unstop our deaf ears, Father, so that we could hear what your spirit is saying to us in this hour, Lord. And not only, man, hear it, my Father, but receive it. Grab a hold to it and seize it and place it in our possession, Lord, so that we can begin to live not defeated lives, but victorious lives, Father. So that we have the peace that passes all understanding that the world can't give and the world can't take away. Help us, Lord. We come, like you said, to your throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. We need you, Father. We need you, Jesus Christ. And we need you, Holy Spirit. So take full control of our lives, hallelujah, so that we may thereby, under your leadership, Holy Spirit, bring glory to our Lord and to our God. And not only bring glory by manifesting his glory in this earth, in our lifetime. That's all I was saying in the Spirit, praying God's perfect will. Sometimes we don't know how to pray as we ought to, but the Spirit of the Lord take hold with us and help us, man, to pray, man. I'm talking about the perfect will of God for our lives. Glory to God. Hey, let me, and listen. When you receive that Holy Spirit that I'm talking about, man, that's why I told you every time I understand more and more, man, as I continue to speak on that, man, and to teach on that, and to exalt God's children, all of us on the sound of my voice, into that, man, you know, the word of God, then, man, you know, the more and more and more it become a reality to me. It's already a reality to me, but the more I say it, the more it become a reality of it to me, until, boy, it begin to, that reality that who we already are be manifested in our lives. Listen, let me read something to you. When I say, hey, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God, hey, super men and super women of the Most High God, a superman is not just a natural man. A superwoman is just not a natural woman. That's a supernatural man and a supernatural woman. That's why I say super men and super women, because you're not just natural beings. You're supernatural. Glory to God. Hallelujah. By that same power of the Holy Ghost, that make you a super being. Why? Because you got the power of the Most High God living on the inside of you. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. How much power you think that took? To raise him from the pit of hell, man, and seat him, raise him up, man, all the way up, man, unto the right hand of the Most High God. How much power you think it took to do that? How much power you think it took to raise Lazarus from the dead and to open the blind eye that he opened and unstop the deaf ear that he unstopped and to cast out demons, man, and destroy the works of the devil? How much power you think it took to do that? It didn't take that. That ain't just natural power. That took a supernatural power. Glory to God. And that supernatural power that it took to do that is the same supernatural power that's living on the inside of every last one of us. And boy, my prayer is once again that you come to the knowledge of death and that you be filled with the knowledge of death with all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Lord, purpose, so that you can know what is the hope of your calling and what is the exceeding greatness of the power that's dwelling on the inside of us through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, so that we can once again receive that supernatural power of the Holy Ghost to not just be among us or around us, but to live on the inside of us. And boy, my prayer that you come to the knowledge that same power that I'm talking about that raised Jesus Christ from the dead and sitting at the right hand of the Most High God is the same Holy Spirit that's living on the inside of you. That's why I say, man, hey, Superman and Superwoman. Why? Not in your own strength and not in your own ability, but by the power of the Holy Ghost that's living on the inside of you. You don't know how much power, boy, that you got living on the inside of you. You don't know how much authority that you have on the inside of you. You got the authority to reign in life, to reign over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, everything that creeps upon the earth, over all the earth. God didn't give us, man, that dominion to reign over one another, to reign over people. He gave us the dominion to reign over every circumstance and situation, man, in our lives, man, that confronts, man, us from being who God say we are, having what God say we have, and doing what God say we can do. Hallelujah. He didn't give us dominion over people. He gave us dominion over our own lives, hallelujah, so that we can begin to rule in our own lives and after coming to the knowledge of death, help those who are blinded to death and not walking into death, men, eyes be open and lame legs to begin to walk into the reality of death. That's our job, man, as apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers and all the other leadership titles that we come up under. It's what? To edify the body of Christ, to build them up, till they too, man, come to the knowledge of the fullness, man, come to the knowledge of the Son of Jesus Christ, what he came to teach and to preach and to manifest in his earth, until we all become a fixed, predictable image of Jesus Christ. The Bible calls it till we become a statue of Christ. That's in your Bible in Ephesians when you're talking about the fivefold ministry. I don't think it's in chapter 4 or chapter 5. Like I said, I don't know the Bible too much in chapters and verses. I know it, and let me rephrase that. I know the Bible in chapter 2, but as far as, man, you know, just being able to quick quote scripture and say, hey, turn to this and turn to that and everything else. Hey, listen, man, as long as it's in that Bible, it ain't going to do us no good. You got to get it out the Bible and get it down on the inside of your spirit. And hallelujah. So you ain't got to be able to quote chapter and verse. All you got to do is be able to quote, man, what the Lord said. You might not, man, can write out the top of your head, man, say, okay, this in Matthew chapter 6 or John chapter 7 or Hebrews this or that or whatever. You know, you got to, that got to come out your spirit, man. Hallelujah. And if you put it in your, if you be faithful to put it on the inside of you, to get it out the Bible, get it out the book, get it out the chapter, get it out the verse, and put it down on the inside of your spirit. Hallelujah. How? By seeking and then studying and then reading and hearing and hearing and hearing. You ain't got to listen. You got to eat the word of God through listening to it, through taste, through meditating in it, through podcasts, through hearing the word of God. They got all kind of ways you can hear the word of God. Listen, man, you can request a copy of this broadcast, man, and I send it to you free of charge. It don't cost you nothing, man. And if you hear that, man, and hear it, sometimes you got to hear it more than once. You got to hear it again and again and again. And you got to keep on hearing it, man. And you got to keep on feasting on the word of God and meditating in it. Listen, not just on Sunday. Bible say, hey, Joshua, I want you to lead my people open to their inheritance. And here's how you do it. What? Hey, don't be afraid. Why? Because just like I was with Moses to get them out of bondage, and just like I was with Jesus, man, to get them redeemed, then so shall I be with you. To lead them into their inheritance. Hallelujah. So be not afraid. But don't let the book of the law, what that is, I ain't talking about the Ten Commandments, I'm talking about the word of God. Don't let the word that's in the book, man, depart out of your mouth. Speak that. Meditate on that day and night. Why? So that you can observe how to do what the word says. If the word say you're a mighty man, a mighty woman of God, or you're a superman, a superwoman, but you might do that, act on that, manifest that, keep it in your mouth, keep it in your heart, think like it, talk like it, walk like it, thought like a little bitty baby, man, growing up into it. You say, and then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success, implying that not until then. What you mean? If you don't put the word of God in your heart and meditate in it day and night and begin to act upon it, don't just be a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word, then you'll make your way prosper and have good success and walking in the supernatural power that's on the inside of you that God intended for you to walk in, to talk in, to live in, man, from the foundation of the word. Even before he created you, that was his intent and desire and plan and purpose for your life. Glory to God. Listen, let me read something to you. I quoted, like I told you, I don't know the Bible chapter, but I think I quoted to you last week or the week before last, and I think I told you it's in Psalm chapter 24, but that's not in Psalm chapter 24. That's why I say I don't know it in chapter and verse. I knew the scripture because I quoted it to you, but I say it's somewhere over, I think it's over in Psalm 24, but it's not actually in Psalm 24. It's in Psalm 82. That's why I say I don't know it to you in chapter and verse. So I might quote the scripture to you, and I might give you the wrong chapter, the wrong verse, but it's still the word of God. And then I know how to go back and correct it and make sure the Holy Spirit know how to lead me into it and come back and make the correction that it needs. This is in Psalm 82. Listen to what it says. God stands in the congregation of the mighty. This chapter is about you. What it say? God stands in the congregation of the mighty. In other words, boy, his congregation, all of us, his children, his church, ain't just no natural children and natural church. It's a mighty church, glory to God. It's a victorious church. It's a powerful church. He's standing in the congregation of the mighty and listening, and he judged amongst the God. That's about you. What did he say? He stand in the congregation of the mighty. He called you a mighty man. He called you there. That's why I told you, man, when I come on here, I say, hey, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God. That's not just my opinion about you. That is my opinion about you and what I believe about you. But the reason why that's my opinion about you and why I believe it about you, because that's what God said, hallelujah. That's what he said. And he's not a man that he should lie. If he said it, boy, he's going to do it. And if he spoke it, it's going to come to pass, hallelujah. So I say again, hey, mighty man and mighty woman of the Most High God, that's what God called us, hallelujah. And then he said this, he judged amongst the gods. He not only called you, man, that word there is a little g, and not a capital G. He didn't call you God all by yourself. He called you a little god. A little god is an offspring from God, a child of the Most High God. A little God with the same character, the same nature, the same essence, and the same man functioning ability as the Almighty God. Not without him or above him, but boy, under his leadership and under his guidance and under his direction and under his tutelage and under him, man, raising up his children just like natural parents raise up their children. What do you say? He judged amongst the God. That word judge, that means he rendered rights to, he give righteous judgment to his little gods, his little offspring, the little gods that we are. He called you a god. Listen, when Jesus said, man, me and my father are one, boy, they wanted to crucify him. When he read that scripture, Luke 4:18, man, and said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and this day of this scripture fulfilled in your ear, they wanted to throw him out the cliff. When he told them, man, them Pharisees, the Sadducees, man, that I'm the Son of God, man, they call him blaspheming. They say, if you say you're the Son of God, then you make yourself of the same character and nature and essence of God. You make yourself a God. Good God Almighty. And then Jesus said, that's in John chapter 10. I don't know what verse it is. I don't know, maybe chapter 3, John chapter 10, verse 30, somewhere up in there. He said, listen, man, when he told a man that him and his father was one, and boy, he was the Son of God, man, they thought he was blaspheming. When he said, all he was saying is, man, as he is, so am I. I'm just like my father. He created me in his image and his likeness. Just like you, he created you in his image and his likeness. He's a God. He's a king. He's a ruler. Hallelujah. And he functions by faith. He say what he want, and he believe what he say, and man, he say it until it come to pass. That's what functioning by faith means. That means, man, listen here. You believe God's word, and you speak it. You believe it before you see any manifestation of it. And you speak it until it be manifested in your life. That's why he told Joshua, don't let my word depart out of your mouth, but meditate in it day and night so that you can become one with it. It can be in you, and you can be in it, and it can be in you, and y'all be one. And boy, in due season, after you have planted that in your life and watered it and cultivated, in due season, you're going to reap what you sow. You're going to have what you say. And boy, I'm talking about then they want to throw Jesus out the cliff, but he said that. He said, didn't it written in your, in through your prophet, man, that God said, I say ye are gods and children of the Most High God, little offspring of God. If you're a child of the Most High God, that means you're a little God. Hallelujah. Just like you're a child of your natural parents, you're a little human. Hallelujah, because you come from your human parents. But if you come from God, then you're a little God. Just like you're a little human being when you're a baby. Hallelujah, you're a little man and a little woman when you're a baby. Same way, man, because you came through the natural birth, but when you born again of the Spirit of the Lord and come to the knowledge of who you really are, the offspring of God, and that he's your source and your sustainer, that he's the creator of your life and he's responsible for your life. That's why the work that's being done in the earth is not your works. The Bible said that remaineth the rest for the people of God. Well, we cease from our works. That don't mean we don't work. We cease from our works, and we get in on God's work. And when you get in on God's work, then it's a completed work. And all you start doing from there on is becoming who you already are, because God is finished. He said, on the seventh day, I'm finished. Boy, and Jesus said on the cross, I'm finished. And the Holy Spirit, one day, boy, once his work is through in the earth, then he's going to say, I'm finished. And then, boy, I'm talking about, man, listen here. Then, boy, Jesus Christ coming back, man. And when he come back, hallelujah, coming back, man, for the consummation of the finished work of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Somebody say, what you talking about, Brother Arthur? I ain't talking about what the church doing and what religion's doing and what people are doing and what human government is doing and what social media is doing. I'm talking about, man, what God is doing in the earth. And when you're talking about what God is doing in the earth and how he's doing it and his way of doing it, then you're talking about the kingdom of God, what God is doing. Not what man is doing for God, but what God is doing for man and through man. The religion, man, is what man is doing for God. And man had good intention and goodwill and mean will and everything else, but that's a permissive will of God. But Jesus Christ come, man, for us to fulfill that permissive will of God, the will of God for mankind after they fail, man, and restore you back to the perfect will of God. Not a religion, but a relationship. Not to establish another religion on the earth, but to establish, man, a governing system on the earth. The governing system of heaven. That same prophet said, man, in Isaiah, he said, unto us a child is born and a son is given, and a government shall be upon his shoulder. Not a religion. What's a governing? The ruling authority of a territory. The ruling authority. That's why the United States government is the highest authority. All these other guys that we put in offices and politicians, we vote them in, man, to run the government. But the government is above all of that. Uncle Sam, they call him, the United States government, is the ruling authority of this country. Not the president. They just officiate the governing system of this country. But Jesus Christ came with a government of heaven on his shoulder. The governing system of heaven, how heaven is governed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, boy, the governing system of heaven, not a religion, a government, man, he brought back to this earth. The governing system of heaven. And boy, and the Holy Spirit's job is to teach us, man, how to live in that governing system of heaven. Teach us the laws that govern this, man, the heaven. Teach us, man, how heaven is, how to operate in it, how to live in it, how to function in it, how to walk into the reality of the world. Not a religion, but the government of heaven. Glory to God. This is what, man, they say again. God stand in the congregation of the mighty. And he judges amongst the God. What do? He lives, man. He gives righteous judgment back to his people. So you got a right to be saved. Because it was Adam's disobedience, man, that caused you to be lost. It wasn't nothing you done. You was born in sin and shaped in iniquity because of Adam's disobedience. So, boy, if who we are, man, in this natural realm is because of somebody else's fault, what Adam did, then you got a right to be saved. Hallelujah. That's why God sent his only begotten son, so that, man, you could get righteous judgment, man. You got a right to be healed. We got a right to be delivered. We got a right, man, to have our broken heart healed. We got a right to walk in the reality of what it means. Man, we got rights to all the blessings of God, man. You got a right to everything that God is doing for you. That's why he said he gives righteous judgment, man, to the God. He restored back your rights that you lost in Adam's disobedience. Right to govern, man, your life. Right to rule in life. Right to be victorious. Right to succeed, man. Then it say, how long will you judge unjustly? How long will you keep judging yourself as unrighteous, man, seeing yourself as a mere man and a mere woman when all the time you are a mighty man and a mighty woman and you are a little God? And show partiality to the wicked. Defend the poor and the in the fatherless, do justice to the afflicted and needy, deliver the poor and needy, and free them from the hand of the wicked. They do not know. That's why we're living like we're living now, far below our rights and privileges. Why? Because we don't know. You don't know, man, that you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You don't know that you are holy like your God is holy. You don't know that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You don't know that you're the head, not the tail. You don't know that, man, every last one of your needs is already met, hallelujah. You don't know, man, how great you are and how powerful you are and how mighty you are. And you don't know that you are a little God, hallelujah. You're just living and dying like me or me, when all the time, boy, you are Superman and a Superwoman, a mighty Superman and a mighty Superwoman. I'm talking about far more than Clark Kent, man. Clark Kent, man, couldn't raise the dead, man. Clark Kent couldn't jump all the way up to heaven. He might can fly to another planet somewhere else, but he couldn't fly to heaven. Hallelujah. 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 But you can go, man, I'm talking about you far greater than that man, Clark Kent, because he come from another planet. You come from heaven. Glory to God. Hallelujah. With supernatural power of heaven. With the sovereign dominion of heaven. Glory to God. They say they do not know, nor do they understand. Why? Because, man, the church for the last 1,800 years they ain't been preaching there. They've been preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, but they ain't been preaching the gospel that Jesus Christ preached. The gospel that Jesus Christ preached is the good news about you. That's why I come on here and tell you, man, who you are in Christ Jesus. I'm not who you are in and of yourself. And not trying to tell you that you can do all this and accomplish all this in and of yourself. And not come on here and tell you that you're a mighty man and you're a mighty and a superman and a super mighty woman of God in and of yourself. I come to tell you, you know, that you are capital G God, Almighty God yourself. I come to tell you, man, who you really are, a little G God, a mighty man, a mighty woman of the big G, the capital G God, and also that you all spring from him, that your original citizenship, you come from him, hallelujah, and you come to the earth, man, to do a work, what? To make earth a colony of heaven, to make it on earth just like it is in heaven. You ain't come down here to earth to live a little while, then go back up to heaven, man, and live in eternity. No, you come down here to occupy the earth. This is your territory. The heavens, that's all the universes and stars and everything else. The highest heaven and the heavens, the unseen heavens and the universe, that's God. And the earth is in the universe too. But you say, but the earth, one of them spots on the in the heavens, the universe, God gave that to you. And God placed you and brought you down from heaven to the earth. So that, man, you can multiply, man, and replenish this earth and make it on earth like it is in heaven. Listen, my time is up right now, y'all. Instead of us walking on in darkness, and all the, because we walk on in darkness and all the foundation of the earth are unstable. But I say, you are God, and all of you are the children of the Most High God. That's what the word say about you in Psalm chapter 82. Hey, listen, my desire, boy, is that this radio broadcast is a blessing to your life, you know. And that, man, you know, through it, man, you being exalted and encouraged, man, and seeking the kingdom of God and the will of God for your life. My wife, Gail, and I, man, and our family, man, we love you with an unconditional love, the love of the Lord. No matter about your faults and mistakes or this or that and everything else, we just keep on loving, man. We keep on loving one another. We keep on loving God. We keep on loving you. We all got some issues. We all got some faults and mistakes. We all fall short of the mark. But in it all, we keep right on loving, man, each other. Keep on loving the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our souls, everything that's within us. And we keep on loving you. With this desire that, Lord, that God would do us, through this radio broadcast, man, lead and guide you into, boy, the gospel of the kingdom. So that, man, you might come to the knowledge of who you really are, where you really come from, what you really can do, why you really here, and where you really going to end up in the presence of the Lord, forever and ever and ever, in heaven, on earth, ruling and reigning like God intended for you to do from the foundation of the world. Listen, if we could be of any more service to you or help you and encourage you, you know, contact us at our number is 713-870-3776. Again, that's 713-870-3776. Even if you just text us a thumb up or a thumb down, it don't matter. Just let us know that you're hearing us on this broadcast. It would be a tremendous blessing to us. Once again, we love you. Our number, 713-870-3776. Let us know if we are a blessing to you. God bless you. Talk to you again next week. Bye-bye.